Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my best buds in the entire universe via the power of the internet, Randy and Justin. How the hell are you guys doing tonight?
I like that we're only friends through the internet. Beyond that, it's like, screw you guys.
No, I've been connected to you guys through
the internet. I know, I'm teasing. Oh.
I love you more than life itself, and I wish you were both sitting next to me while we do this, but... You know, geography is against us, and I am happy for the small bit of time I get virtually with you.
Yes.
That's why I said through the power of the internet, not my friends from the internet, because that's a different group, and it's mostly men with mustaches and, like, weird-shaped pubic hair.
Ooh.
But I've gone off track again. How are you guys doing today?
Fabulous.
I think you were right on track.
Yeah, I like where this is going. This is a good podcast. You guys are going a new direction.
Ooh. After dark, again.
We're turning over a new leaf.
Let's bring back the after dark, see if we can get yelled at again.
For the first time, for the last time.
Man. I love, wait, real quick on the after dark note. I love how we went so far that we got the I'm disappointed in you speech.
Yeah.
So far, like, I'm not even mad anymore.
Just disappointed.
Expected better from a Varsity Letterman.
Our immaturity knows no bounds.
Yeah.
It really does. And
it's
so
true.
So yeah, it's 4th of July weekend. What are you guys doing? Are you going to get big plans for the 4th? Any orgies? Any ritualistic suicides? Gang rapes? You know, what are you guys up to?
I am not doing any of those. I am working
hard. So
you're
not doing nothing fun then?
Working hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Are you guys open tomorrow?
Hell yeah, we open every day except for Easter and Christmas.
Good on them. Good on them. I know people, I can go somewhere to get shit.
People need their stuff. Yeah.
Crazy. That's true. I guess it's probably actually really busy, like, during the day. A lot of people getting all their shit and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, so. Nighttime it drops, though. Everyone's watching their fireworks.
But I remember really last stuff.
No, so I'm working in the mornings, but then I'm gonna get the hell out of there.
Oh yeah, go to a party or firework. What's the fireworks situation in Seattle?
It's I've never been, but my buddy lives downtown and he wanted me to go to his place to watch them off of his balcony. It's gonna get
nice. You do a big show to space.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
that's whenever they're showing like highlights from around the world, like fireworks spectaculars, they always show the Space Needle.
You know, I'm not into fireworks. I like the Disneyland fireworks, and that's about it. I've never been a fireworky kind of guy. We would always sit around and watch them as a family and everything, and then at your house. But I did it for the food.
I don't blame you. Yeah. Well, cool. What about you, Randy? What fun and festive plans you got going on?
I got family in town, so I'm going to be doing the family thing. Nothing too exciting. Watching a local fireworks show, not going to be setting off any of our own, so don't have to worry about counting my fingers and my toes come the end of the weekend.
Well, that's no fun if you can't count. You got it, like, okay, I got 9 and 11, so that's 20 total, so I'm okay.
Yeah.
This one's not mine, but... You know,
all's well that ends well.
It counts. It counts. It definitely counts. Well, fun. What about... So not a lot of news going on. What about Game of Thrones? I know we were all hoping that they were just going to do one final kick-ass mega season, but they announced their directors, and they only had 4 names on their list, which makes us worried that they're going to be 2 short seasons. You know, we always thought that we knew it was going to be 7 or 8 seasons. That's what, you know, D.B. Weiss and David Benioff, the showrunners, had said. When they said they had 13 episodes left, I think we all thought that meant counting the episodes that were currently to air. But apparently that means they got 13 extra episodes. So what do you think, Justin? Is more too much?
I think that we could probably tell this story in 10. And the fact that they are going to split this up into 2 just irritates me. It reminds me of Sopranos. Remember when we got the 2 half seasons?
Oh, that was the worst. And they were like 18 months apart.
Yeah, that was the worst. and I hated every second of that. And I feel like part of my problem was that because I waited so long, I don't think that there was a payoff. I haven't gone back and rewatched Sopranos since it ended, and I don't think I ever need to. I remember just being so irritated with the ending, and I don't want to be irritated with this ending. I just want it to be one big shot out of a cannon, kaboom, and hit me with both barrels, and be done with it. I don't want to stretch it out.
All right, hey, well, Randy, Justin can name that season in 10 episodes. Can you do it in less?
I say if you're going to make 13, cram it all into one season. Give us an uber mega season.
I like where your head's at.
You know,
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, instead of a 10-episode season, which would be cool, just to kind of wrap things up in one more season like we thought. In a way, we're kind of getting a bonus 3 episodes. It's just we're being forced to have to wait a whole year in between episodes 6 and 7, you know, to finish things off.
Okay, so I agree with you. Let me rephrase. I would rather there just be one – rather than having it 13 episodes split across 2 seasons, I would rather it be either one long 13-season episode – or one long 13-season episode season, or cut into just 10 episodes.
Yeah, why not supersize one season instead of, you know, because no one's going to be pissed like, oh, I got to watch 3 extra episodes of Game of Thrones. You know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good problem to have instead of now everyone's like, I only get 7 episodes a season? What the fuck? No. What is kind of cool is Alan Taylor, who was probably the first big Game of Thrones director to break out. You know, he went and did Thor the Dark World and a couple of other feature films. He's going to be directing 2 of the episodes next year. He directed the episode 9 and 10 of the first season, so the Ned beheading and stuff like that. So he's he had some big moments, but
the Sept of Baelor, is that what it was called?
Yes.
That episode
where Joffrey cemented himself as a real piece of shit.
Natalie Portman hates Thor too.
Yeah, she didn't want to be in it. They had to like, well, she says they didn't, but they had made claims that they like had to like pull her contract and say, hey, you're gonna be in this fucking movie.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, we all saw movies this weekend. We all saw different movies. Justin, you saw The Shallows, didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was great. I wouldn't say great. It was fun.
you're backtracking. I don't know what you mean.
You don't want to have words come back to haunt you.
I know. It's a one-timer. It's an absolute marvel of storytelling.
Oh god.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was. What did I say first? It was great. It was good.
now, is what you get in the trailer, is what you see, what you get, is that the movie, or is there more to the movie than girl just tries to get back to the island away from shark?
No, that's it. She's being terrorized by a shark, and she's got just a short amount of time to pull it off.
Is it because the tide's coming or something?
Yeah, so there's the low tide and the high tide. She's on the rock during the low tide, and then she's got one day to make magic happen.
But how can she get away? Sharks swim fast.
Ooh, yes, they do. Maybe she has a distraction. Maybe she's a fast swimmer. Yeah.
She flashes the goods, and the shark like runs into a wall or something.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's definitely a one-timer. You never need to watch this movie more than once.
One-trick pony.
Yes. But I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I'm a sucker for sharks, so.
Yeah, Jaws.
Yeah. Jaws 2.
Yeah, and Jaws the Revenge.
Jaws the Revenge, yeah, that's a good one.
Jaws 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And Randy, you saw Tarzan. You
I
loved
did.
It. You said it was the best movie. You call this an absolute marvel of storytelling, right?
I love period pieces. You guys know this. And this was set in 1890. So it was fun. I enjoyed the cast very much. Samuel Jackson was in it, and he was badass. And Margot Robbie, and who everyone's in love with.
But not you?
No. I love her, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I thought this was another... what's her name? Fame.
Hathaway?
No.
I'm like, I was about to just disconnect you. I don't have the power to do it, but I would like mentally do it.
No. This one I would sell my soul to mount.
Easy.
Did you see Wolf of Wall Street?
I did. Are you kidding? That's why I said this.
Yeah, remember he just watched it like the other day. Yeah,
I watched it like 2 weeks ago. It is fresh in my mind.
Oh, you must have talked about it when I wasn't on the show.
No, yeah, you never hear anymore.
I love, oh man,
such a quitter.
Wolf of Wall Street is my favorite Scorsese movie. I know it's blasphemy, but I like it so much.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It had some moments there.
Yeah. I like the part when he thinks he drove home safely.
Like a miracle, not a scratch. And it's just destroyed.
That was funny. So, Randy.
Yes.
Are there subtitles when Tarzan talks to the gorillas?
There's not. It's more just kind of a series of grunts and just guttural kind of sounds. But the thing is, the problem is
Coco the Ape translating for us?
Like, the entire first half of the movie, we don't really see Tarzan in the form of Tarzan. We see Tarzan 8 years after he was pulled out of the wild, and he is a civilized gentleman. He is such and such the third, and he's got this, he's a lord, he's got this manor, and, you know, he's just very much an English gentleman, and he kind of wants to turn his back on his whole Tarzan past.
But I don't even know if that's possible.
But he's like famous, right? Like the world knows him as Tarzan.
Yeah. Everybody knows him, but he doesn't want to be called Tarzan. He doesn't want to acknowledge that part in his life. And he's married to Jane and all that, and she wants to go back to Africa, and he doesn't. The government wants to send him there as some emissary, you know, as like a sign of good faith kind of thing, and he doesn't want any part of it. But because his wife wants to go, and Samuel Jackson, who's kind of like this advisor kind of character, wants to go. So they end up going anyway. And Christoph Waltz plays.
I'll go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He's going to keep calling
keep
me.
Call me. Keep calling me.
So Christoph Waltz is the bad guy. He plays this fucking guy. Always with the best villain roles. And I mean, this particular villain isn't really anything special, but Christoph Waltz adds nuance to any character he plays, and he does the villain so well. He is a joy and a delight in this movie, even though he didn't really have a whole lot to work with, I'm gonna say, but I still love the shit out of watching him just chew up the scenery, you know. So so it's worth it just to see him alone. But anyway, if you guys do you guys want me to tell you the plot, should I say spoilers here? Because I can kind of give you a rough breakdown of the plot just to let you know why he's spending most of the time wearing a suit and why you only see him as Tarzan for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Does this company want to buy land where the forest is and they're going to build condos or something?
No, it's about diamonds.
Is there unobtainium there?
I don't know if they're blood diamonds, but they're African diamonds. And so Christoph Waltz plays this guy who's working for the Belgian government. Whose king is like in debt. They acquired all this land in Africa and the Congo, and while trying to colonize it and trying to mine its resources dry, they pretty much went into crazy debt. And the only way they're going to get out of debt is if Christoph Waltz's character comes up with this gigantic like treasure chest full of diamonds. And there's this one tribe in Africa who has access to all these fabled diamonds, and the only way they're going to give them to this guy is if he delivers Tarzan, because Tarzan killed the chief's son. So he needs to deliver Tarzan to him to give him the treasure chest full of diamonds to save the king of Belgium.
Nice. Huh. Do we know who the kid was that Tarzan killed?
Is it important? No, not really. He's you only see him in a flashback.
Yeah, so no.
And the only reason he did it is because the kid who the kid killed his ape mother, the mother that raised Tarzan, the ape that raised Tarzan. He was like out hunting and shot her with an arrow, and Tarzan just went ape shit.
Let's see what you did there.
Yeah. Thinly veiled pun, and then just beat the shit out of him. Like, you see a lot of gorillas just beating people to death or beating things to death by just like pounding with two hands. You got to see Tarzan do that to another human. It was kind of
do they do it like Bruce Wayne leaving the theater with his parents and then they get shot in the alley? Is it done like that way, or it's all
no?
Slow
it's not done as melodramatically. Actually done fairly well.
That's like a Zack Snyder movie.
A lot of the photography I thought was kind of interesting in this. They use a lot of handheld when I felt it wasn't appropriate.
Oh,
like always.
No, there's a lot of just like weird, like the camera is drifting. Like there's
is it like it's like a tied to a vine and the vine's swinging through the air with the camera attached to it?
Well, there's one scene that's totally like that. You know, you can tell it was either like a Steadicam or a gimbal shot or something like that, and it's like they held on the shot longer than they probably intended to while shooting, because there's a point when it's pointing at nobody and then the camera kind of like fishes around to look for somebody to point at. It was the weirdest thing, and it was during this like confrontation scene. So I guess it kind of added to the frenetic pace of the confrontation, but anyway, I'm not going to pick it apart at the cinematography level, but needless to say, It was a fun little romp, and I don't recommend seeing it. I saw it in 3D. You don't need to. It was okay, but you know, you don't really need to see it in 3D. I don't necessarily recommend seeing it in the theater, but it's definitely worth seeing when it comes around Netflix or VOD, or if you got cable, what have you.
Or drive-in theater.
Drive-in theater for sure. I mean, slap that sucker on the back end of a double feature, and why not?
Yeah. Does he get the diamonds?
Well, do you want me to further spoil it?
I don't care.
So there is a treasure chest of diamonds. He does get his hands on it, but of course, our hero saves the day, blows up this big old paddle wheel steamboat looking Steamboat Willie fucking boat, and the diamonds go exploding everywhere into the river.
Oh. So nobody gets the diamonds.
Well, theoretically, they're all at the bottom of the river, so.
There's a hole in the bottom of the sea.
Anybody who wants to go digging for them can find them now.
Nice. What grade would you give it, Randy?
You know, I'd give it a C+.
Ooh.
Slightly above average.
Well, we didn't get your grade on The Shallows, Justin. What would you say?
I'd give it a B-.
Nice.
Better than Tarzan.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? So stupid, like, human ape stuff.
It's all about sharks, man. Plus, it's Shark Week.
Yeah. Shark Week is the best week of the year. Well, nice. Well, that's fun. Can you believe they're making a Pacific Rim 2?
I can believe it. The first one I enjoyed.
Yeah. I enjoyed it as well. What are you looking forward to in your Pacific Rim 2, Randy? Where can they go? You think it's the aliens coming back? Another pissed?
There's another crack in the earth that shit's coming out of.
it's like the Atlantic Rim.
Yeah. Hey, you know, yeah, we got four oceans. Come on. We can have four rims.
Yeah.
Usually you got to pay extra for that shit. Justin knows what I'm talking about.
I do.
Justin never pays for that. He just reciprocates.
I'm just lucky when it comes to that sort of thing.
You're like
he's all, I let the tongues fall where they may.
I just have great luck.
Yeah, it was interesting. Del Toro. So Del Toro's not doing it, Justin said. So who's doing this movie?
Daredevil.
A blind director.
Some blind asshole. I don't know. Stephen James DeKnight.
DeKnight, yes.
Yeah. Fucking James. Yeah. Yeah, so the showrunner for Daredevil, season one. Ooh.
Ooh la la.
Personally, I liked season two better, but whatever.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Well, just because Punisher was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like a real fan of the Punisher, but I enjoyed what he brought to the table.
Sounds like you are a big fan of the Punisher. Sounds like you're like his agent.
Mm-hmm. I have skulls on everything, like, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm down for Pacific Rim 2. I would imagine it'd be more monsters, more mayhem, cooler shit. It has to be a sequel. It can't be a prequel, because then the monsters would be dumb.
Right. Well, they did a prequel comic series, but yeah.
Yeah.
Del Toro, who was listed as the writer for Pacific Rim 2, he'd always said that he had an idea for where the characters would go and how it would progress past this point. So, and John Boyega is going to be in it, so that's always good. Finn himself.
How many returning characters from the first movie are we going to see, do you think?
Charlie Hunnam was listed in the credits, so he'll be in there. I'm sure Mako will be in there. I mean, really, not too many of them lived. I'm sure Charlie Day will be in it. You know, because Idris Elba, he dies, and...
Oh, the one guy, Hellboy survives.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron Perlman survives.
he cuts his way out at the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's plenty of people left. It could be fun. John Boyega will fit in nicely, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome sauce.
A Jaeger pilot? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, they're Jaegers. Maybe it will be one of the 25 best summer movies of all time.
What? No.
Someone should make a list about that.
They did.
Ooh, what?
What? This is crazy talk. Yes, this comes courtesy of Den of Geek. Our list this week is the best summer movies of all time. And this is actually a fairly recent list, so this is just within the last couple weeks. So this should have some more recent stuff in it, hopefully. So let's take a look and see what we've got here. All right, so we're going to start with Independence Day.
Ooh.
Which is definitely one of my top summer movies of all time.
Sure. I think it was just the other day. I was saying that this is my go-to summer blockbuster movie. That's what set the mood for me and the tone for the rest of my life as to what it means to be a summer blockbuster movie.
When do you guys count the summer starting? Because, I mean, every year they try to push it back a week and here and there. When is your classification of the summer starts on...
What? I think it should be Memorial Day, no?
I think like it used to be.
Yeah. But I mean, Civil War.
Now it's like April.
Yeah, I mean, Civil War came out in April, and you know, Marvel likes that April slot. You know, it's hard to say that's not a summer movie.
Yeah, but you know what? It's it doesn't say summer on my calendar, so I'm gonna say fuck you, Marvel.
All right.
You're trying to create a spring movie season. And I'm okay with that, but what I'm not okay with is you calling it summer.
But if the weather's nice. In the summertime when the weather is fine. La la la
la la la la la la la. I mean, don't you think that's tantamount to putting freaking Christmas decorations out the day after Halloween? Skipping over a bunch of shit?
I cannot comment on rumors or speculation.
I'm just saying. That is skipping over... a couple good months.
Driving sales, Randy. It's all about
Warner Brothers is trying to make summer in March. Batman v Superman came out March 25th.
Yeah, what do you feel about that? Your birthday is in March. Do you feel like summer birthday?
I'm not a big to do guy on my birthday. So you know, as long as my wife does stuff she doesn't want to normally do the other 364 days a year, I don't care what month, what summer season my birthday's in.
Justin, let's talk about Valentine's Day on December 26th.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just picking on you. All right. You know what? So Independence Day, that's honorable mention. That's not even the top 25. What do you think about that?
I would definitely have that in my top 25.
I would have that in my top 25 as well.
I'd have that probably in my top 10.
Going right down the list here. Number 25, The Avengers, numero uno.
That was a good one.
May of 2012, May 4th.
Sure.
So that's kind of pushing that May envelope there. Here we go, number 24, released June 10th, 1994, right smack dab in the middle of summer, Speed.
Cruise Control?
Nope. Although that was on the list that I was looking at earlier of the worst summer.
I got gum on my seat. Yeah. Gum.
We've been to the airport.
We say that almost every show, by the way. I've already been to the airport. And... I'll go.
Yeah, we just like Mr. Ruck, I guess.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they're all his lines.
Yeah. If he said anything worthwhile in Generations, we'd probably quote that too.
I know.
Oh man,
he was the captain.
I thought he was in that.
Captain of Fable Enterprise B.
Yeah.
Number 23, Anchorman, released July 9th, 2004.
Wow.
That's a great film.
God, that's been 12 years already.
I wouldn't say it's a summer blockbuster. Is it summer movies or summer blockbusters?
Summer movies. It doesn't have to be blockbusters.
Oh. Just
movies released in the summertime. Number 22, released May 16th, 1986, Top Gun.
Oh, that's a good one. I saw that in the theater.
Here's another fun one. Released July 16th, 2010, Inception, coming in at number 21. Ooh. Number 20, we were just talking about this earlier, released on June 11th, 1982, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Oh, that movie still makes me cry, Randy.
I love that movie so much.
It's all sick and white.
Honestly, I don't cry, but it's hard for me to watch. I don't cry in movies. There's just points where that make me deeply uncomfortable.
to where I want to fidget with something else and not watch the movie.
I think the closest thing I can put it to is like if you've ever had to be present when you have to take your animal to a vet to be put down.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's just like those final moments. Like, that's what I think of with E.T. And it's a happy ending for crying out. They get away. But, I mean, the whole leading up to when he's sick, I'm like, oh, my God, you don't know what to do. And the only
thing when they find him down by the creek and he's all white. God, I hate that.
It hurts.
It does.
Have you guys seen that movie recently?
No,
within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty close to a perfect movie. I mean, it's a very close movie to me. I love it a lot.
Now, did you watch the original version with the guns, or did you watch the Spielberg cleaned up cut where they removed all the guns and replaced them with freaking flashlights?
So I bought the big Mondo Super Deluxe Collection because it came with the original version where where they're dressed up like terrorists, not pirates, and everyone's got guns and stuff like that. So yeah, I did the original.
Back when the 80s had balls.
Yeah, but what I was caught off guard was if that movie's made today, Elliot doesn't get drunk.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's that whole scene where he gets just plowed at school, and I think it's great. And I think
it's cute though, because it's E.T. that's drinking, it's not Elliot, so it's fine.
Yeah, but I don't think they let that fly in today's day and age.
Yeah,
you know what, one of my favorite parts of that movie is when it's Halloween and there's just all these kids out at night,
yeah,
just having fun,
just unsupervised, just like throngs of children. I mean, what neighborhood has that many kids in it?
Oh man, my neighborhood is insane. Like that's how I compare it to E.T. Like if we sat here and gave out candy all day, we'd give out well over 1,000 pieces of candy. It's amazing, and I love it. It's candy, but it's cool. It's Spielberg, when he made this movie, like the first, aside from the mother, like you don't see another like adult in this film until like
the bad guys
over halfway through the film, and it's just this great movie where like kids are being kids and seeking adventure, and takes you back to another time and age where. Hey, Mom, I'm going to go outside and play in the woods. Oh, yeah, she's back when it gets dark.
Yeah. Dinner time.
At dinner time. Street lights came on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I remember.
Wait, so what number is E.T.?
That's
number
high.
20. Can you believe it? It's number 20.
Fuck this list.
All right, number 19, released July 18th, 1986, Aliens.
Ooh. E.T. is better than Aliens.
I agree. I also think E.T. is better than this upcoming movie, number 18.
About every movie on this list.
Released May 3rd, 2002, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I really enjoy this Spider-Man movie, personally. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's number 18.
No, but...
Not if E.T. is 20.
Right. Right. I do believe... It does deserve a spot on this list. Because that movie blew everybody away.
I agree. Number 17, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, released July 3rd, 1991.
Yeah, buddy, I remember that. My grandfather took me to see this movie.
Nice.
I saw that movie so many times that summer.
It's pretty good.
Number 16, released May 5th, 2000, Gladiator.
Oh, shit.
E.T.'s back.
Yeah, we get it.
This one takes me back to a summer that I remember incredibly fondly. June 23rd, 1989. I'm talking about the one and only Tim Burton's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good film, too.
That is an amazing movie.
Fucking great movie when it came out.
Love it.
That's still a good movie now.
Yeah, totally. For what it is, for not really being based on any iteration of the Batman comics, with a Joker that's just completely weird and different, it was awesome.
And how Joker kills his parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 14 on our list. Number 3 of a three-part trilogy, and by number 3 I mean the least of the three. At least
Indiana Jones.
1989. I'm talking about Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
All right, podcast over.
Dude, that's one of the best movies ever.
There's no way you can tell me Temple is better than Last Crusade.
I enjoyed Temple of Doom more as a kid when I was growing up. Last Crusade is the first Indiana Jones movie I saw in the theater, and I have nothing but the best memories of it. I absolutely love that movie. I adore it, and I only rate it the third of the Indy trilogy just because it pisses you guys off.
But you don't really feel that, right?
I don't really feel that way. I adore that movie.
Like, I can understand. If someone says they like Raiders the best, I can understand that. Right?
I still like Raiders the best. I do.
Raiders is a phenomenally amazing film, so I'm not going to ever fault him for that. It's when someone tries to tell me the fucking Temple of Doom.
Last Crusade is a really good facsimile of Raiders. All right, number 13.
So good! I saw the theater too, Dave. I saw it at Laughlin, of all places. Nice.
June 13th, 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Speaking of Mr. Alan Ruck.
Yes, sir.
Oh. When Cameron was in Egypt land.
Number 12. I don't know how I saw this in the movie theater, because I was only 11. But July 15th, 1988... Die Hard was released, and I remember seeing this in the movie theater and just being absolutely blown away to the point where I went home, I made a John McClane action figure out of one of my G.I. Joes, and I didn't have any dudes in suits, because that was one thing they didn't like ever make toys of back in the 80s. They just didn't make dudes in suits, so I had a hard time coming up with like all the terrorists, and I didn't have like a little Hans Gruber figure or anything like that, but I absolutely made a little John McClane figure. Good times.
Nerd.
Yep, totally. Number 11, June 15th, 1994, The Lion King.
Oh.
I love that movie, too.
That's a good one, man.
Reminds me of good times working for Disney. All right, speaking of Disney, July 9th, 2003, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, the movie that caught everybody off guard.
Oh, man. I think Dave... Weren't you, like, in New York when this movie came out?
I was.
Yeah. I remember, like, trying to call you. I'm like, oh, my God, go see Pirates. This movie's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, I'm watching baseball shit. Let me
and
alone.
Then at the same time, like, because Amy was left home, and, like, she, like, went to do something with my parents, or with my mom, and they went saw Pirates, and she's like, oh, my God, I saw this movie. It was so good, I didn't even mind spending the whole day with your parents. Or with your mom.
That's funny. Yeah, that's a good one. So Randy, you ate that shit up too, because that was
I did. Yeah. I did, yeah. And actually, that was after I had stopped working for the company, but I was still in the Disney loop.
Mm-hmm. But for me, that was one of the first real live action Disney movies that really nailed it for me. I never was really a fan of live action Disney movies.
Well, and the only one based off of a ride that, in my opinion, never really went anywhere that was worth seeing, because this was a predecessor to the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion vehicle that just fizzled.
But, have you guys seen the footage from the Shanghai Disney Pirates ride?
No, not yet.
It's pretty cool, and it's got like Jack Sparrow speaking like you know, Mandarin and shit. But
oh, that's cool.
It's where someone like records on the ride and stuff like that. It's got some really cool effects. Like I hope they bring you know stateside one day.
I've seen like GoPro footage from the Tron roller coaster, and it just looks amazing. Awesome. Oh my God. So good. So good.
Like, why don't we have you yet?
Why am I not in you? All right. Number 9, released June 8th, 1984. The original, the one, what should be the only, Ghostbusters.
Oh, but the kids love
it. You like Ghostbusters too?
No, I like Ghostbusters 2 a lot, and it came out at a very important time in my life. But if you're going to call a movie Ghostbusters, you should leave it with the 1984 Ghostbusters. All I'm saying is this current iteration of Ghostbusters coming out this summer should have had a slightly different title or a subtitle.
Oh, yeah?
Real Ghostbusters.
Like, girl Ghostbusters? You sexist pig, you?
No, just like fucking Ghostbusters. Take
Fallout
a
Boys,
I don't know what the fuck.
The new batch.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Cruise Control. I don't care.
Which is every horrible 80s with or horrible sequel name.
Yeah.
Well, there was the new batch.
Ghostbusters The Revenge.
Ooh, The Revenge.
Personal.
Ghostbusters 3D, you know.
This time they fight the Russians.
Oh, shit. I like it.
All right. Number 8. May 25th, 1979. Alien.
It's a good one.
That is a good one.
Interesting that it's rated higher than Aliens. I know there's a lot of Alien fans, but I really preferred Aliens.
Mm-hmm. I think that Aliens should be higher up on this list anyway, because it would be Alien that's got the interest. but aliens that put the butts in the seats.
Right. Yeah.
I think of Aliens as a very summer movie. I think of Aliens as kind of like just a great film. Mm-hmm. I mean, not E.T. good, but...
Well, but what is?
Like three movies. E.T.'s probably one of my top 10 favorite all-time movies.
Really?
I'd say, yeah. It's the very first movie I saw in the movie theater. So maybe I'm just...
Okay, wait. So you're top 10. Can we just try and guess what your top 10 is really fast? So three Star, maybe six Star Wars.
So I cheat. I count Star Wars as a film.
Oh, okay.
Just to make it fair. I mean, okay. Otherwise, yeah, then it would be there would be seven Star Wars movies.
So you're saying the entire or all Star Wars movies just counts as one?
Yeah, So my favorite film of all time is Star Wars. You know. So
okay.
Let's count that as the saga.
Okay. Let's say, how about Jaws? Is Jaws in there?
Jaws is. I don't have an actual list. I would probably put Jaws like near the upper echelon of that list. Like it's probably if I gun to my head, I wouldn't mind that in my top 10. I'd say I probably have my top 5 nailed down.
Do you?
I think so.
Okay. Last Crusade
is not in. Indiana Jones is the same thing. So I count that as a saga. It's probably in my top 10. Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. This is hard now. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought I was only have to think of
I would
movies.
Probably put I would probably put Indiana Jones as number 5 in my top 5. There you go.
Okay.
So I bookend Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Is Superman in this top 5?
There's no Superman.
Not even Superman 2?
Not even Superman 2 the Donner cut.
Oh man. Planet of the Apes in this top 5. No. I know you like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I do.
Oh man, now I'm concerned.
Now you're stumped.
The Hulk is definitely stymied. In there.
Well, the Hulk's in its own list. Like it's like, it's above Star Wars.
Well, shit. I don't know if I know
this wouldn't work. Well, now you will have to keep thinking about it. Now every time the movie comes, you'll be like, "Oh, that's got to be your top 5."
Fuck. Interesting.
It's fucking interesting, man.
All right, I'm sorry.
One of them I've been lobbying for this whole list.
That's not E.T.
E.T. And,
yeah. I think I know which one you're lobbying for, and I will say that it's coming.
Well, no. E.T. is what I was talking about.
Oh.
That's the top 5? I thought you said that was you said that was in your top 10.
E.T.?
Yeah.
No, E.T. is probably my number 2.
Oh.
For Star Wars.
Interesting. Eh.
And there's another Spielberg
number
film
there. Number 7.
All right,
7.
Move on. Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Number 7, July 18th, 2008. You want to take a guess? 2008, Justin, you're good with dates.
I don't know. Oh, Dark Knight. Dark Knight.
Yes, The Dark Knight is coming in at number 7.
It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's another one of those that doesn't suck.
No.
Number 6, this is for you, David.
Oh, it's not number 6. It got to be. Oh, fuck this.
Coming out on May 21st, 1980, The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay. Think it's something else.
No, I think I know what you're thinking. It's
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park's number 1 on this list, right?
Is it number 1? No, is that in your top 5?
Number 5. That's the one that I thought you were referring to. Number 5, June 12th, 1981. My personal favorite movie of all time, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Number That's 5 great. On the list here.
Wow.
Number 4 on the list, coming out June 11th, 1993, Jurassic Park. Number 4, that's a respectable place on this list.
I don't know. I'll have to see who number 3 is that beat out Empire Strikes Back, E.T., Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, both Alien movies.
So
Back
now,
to the Future.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Bam. July 3rd, 1985.
Respectable.
Hey, that's exactly, what is it, 31 years ago today. We're recording this on July 3rd.
Dang, it was so long ago.
And it still stands up so good.
It does.
Like, my kids like it.
Well, it's allowed to, though, because it takes place in the era, and then it goes back in time, and then they do the costumes of that era, too. Right. So they're able to cheat in a way.
Yeah. It's just like, an amazing, perfect film.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Number 2, Jaws. June 20th, 1975.
Jaws is pretty good.
That is a great movie.
And then anybody want to take bets on what's number one?
Dave's favorite. Your favorite. Second favorite. If Raiders is your number one, then the Star Wars has got to be number one on this list.
It is Star Wars. May 27th, 1977.
Oh, I thought we already went through Star Wars. Oh, okay. Oh.
No, only Empire and A New Hope were on the list. Jedi was snubbed from the top 25.
Yeah, a lot of Jedi hate out there. I don't get it.
People don't like the Ewoks. They kind of equate them to Jar Jar Binks, how it was like aimed towards kids, and some people just hold it against that movie and just don't look at it the same way because of that.
Yeah, people who were like older, like not older, but like, you know, adults or teens when that came out, like Jared, like fucking hates most of Return of the Jedi. He has venom for it. I want to say Jared put it below like one of the prequels. Like, I think he has episode 3 above episode 6.
Don't you?
I do, but that's because I have 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I forgot that.
How do you forget?
I don't know.
Like profiling.
I know. So hold on.
I cannot explain why I like episode 3 so much. I've tried so many times.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's so good.
It is not.
Maybe it's because I saw it with my friends.
Yeah, that was fun waiting in line for 20 hours. So I got to go back to your top 5. Hold on.
You missed Animal House is in my top 5. That's the one.
Oh, okay. So it's...
I would go to Star Wars, E.T., Animal House, Jurassic Park, and then
Jaws.
the indie movies.
Oh, okay.
And then Jaws is probably just right outside. Like maybe like 6 or so.
Man.
As you can see, I like Spielberg.
You do. Moviegoers don't.
Well, not this week. Traditionally, moviegoers do. Did you guys ever end up seeing Bridge of Spies?
No,
I wish I had, though. I will eventually.
It's a really good, and it's even made better because they're not making, you know, that kind of drama for adults anymore. And it's just a really, really amazingly crafted film. And all the performances are amazing. I mean, you got Tom Hanks in it. He's probably like the third best performance in the film. So that tells you that he did it's a pretty good film. And it's just from start to finish, it's great. And we were talking about soundtracks earlier. And John Williams is just... When John Williams... Something happens to John Williams, it's going to be a sad, sad day. So I was watching Hook the other day, and I know Hook is a reviled. Most people don't like Hook, and I admit it's not the best film in the world, but it's got one of like the best soundtracks out there. Like the score for Hook is one of John Williams' best, and that's saying something because he did Jurassic Park, Star Wars, Raiders, and all these other Jaws, all these other amazing films, and just he has so many. You could watch Jaws with no dialogue and just the score and like a silent film, and it would be riveting.
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 I like the music in Hook.
Yeah, I love the Hook soundtrack.
Like that doo 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 doo.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Play.
Yeah.
When we were cutting together Pink Lemonade, that was our temp track for the monkey. His theme song was Smee's
theme.
She's that,
yeah. How funny.
Yeah.
Are you? Not bad. Stupid.
Okay, when Albert knows my top 5, do you have like a concrete top 5, Justin, or is it always like fluid in motion depending on your mood?
That's tough, man. I don't know. I would say...
Maybe not...
Okay, so if I get to cheat like you with the trilogies and things and all just everything Star Wars in one thing, I would probably do Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Jaws, fucking Rudy.
Oh, Rudy's good.
Rudy's pretty goddamn amazing. And then probably Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction is a pretty goddamn good movie.
Yeah, that's a respectable list too. There's not a stinker on that list. What about you, Randy? You got
What? I'm sorry. If I were to be so bold, I could on any day of the week I could put Rocky in front of Pulp Fiction, and I'd be okay with that. Like one of those. If I'm stuck on an island, and someone packed Rocky instead of Pulp Fiction, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah. See, for me, like, Rudy is, like, the best parts of Rocky, but it's, like it's paced a little bit better. Like, there's a part, there's parts of Rocky that kind of dull, but it's an amazing film, too. I'm not going to shit on it.
I think it's funny that Sean William Scott is in. Or not Sean William Scott. What's his name?
Sean Austin.
Sean Austin, yeah. He's in four movies that I would have with me.
Yeah. What about you, Rando?
I'm gonna lump all the indie movies together, kind of like you did. The indie franchise, number one. Star Wars, number two. Number three, probably going to go Back to the Future. Number four, Goonies. Number five, that's
movie.
Yeah. Oh my God, the Goonies. Number five is kind of rotating. It depends. But probably while I was growing up.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh shit! Yeah, I would have to say Revenge of the Nerds 1 and 2. I'm not gonna acknowledge that 3 and 4 exist because I'm naming them by franchise, not by
individual. I know.
But I'm gonna say Revenge of the Nerds, but I'm gonna also say disavowing 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Once you get to like 5 through 10, that's where the fights start. Like my 5 through 10. It's probably going to have like Star Trek 2 and Flash Gordon on it. And those are pretty polarizing.
Such an idiot. Star Trek 2, Superman 2.
No, I didn't say Superman 2.
Starship Troopers 2.
Oh, dude, Starship Troopers 3 is where it's at.
Oh, man. I think Starship Troopers might actually be in my top 10.
Starship Troopers is such a good movie.
I know. I love it so much.
Like, it's what's great about it is it's self-aware of how just ridiculous it is. And yeah. Turn it up to like 11 and it totally works.
You know what? Okay, you know what? I forgot. Remove Revenge of the Nerds and I'm going to put Spaceballs in there for now.
That's a good one. And I like how you have comedies in yours. That's good.
And when I put Spaceballs in there, really, you could put virtually any Mel Brooks movie because I freaking love Blazing Saddles and.
You like History of the World as well.
History of the World is an amazing movie. To Be or Not to Be, High Anxiety.
That movie's terrible.
All of them are fun to a degree.
I think To Be or Not to Be is pretty good, but that was a remake as well. FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always good to see comedies. You know, I have one in my top five. Randy had one.
Yeah, I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of my all-time favorite movies. But I don't know if I could cram it in my top five. It would be in my top 10, but I don't know if I could cram it in my top five.
It's respectable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I have to put some real thought into this.
Well, while you're thinking about that, have you guys seen any exclusive for San Diego Comic-Con that are speaking to you that you might actually want to wait in line for this year, or is nothing really jumping out at you?
I don't know. My exclusive from last year is still at your house.
It is. I'm waiting for you to come get it.
If only there was a service that could transport goods.
You understand the boxes for these things has to be ginormous. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find one box that would fit both of the things in it, so I had two boxes taped together, and it's literally sitting in my garage right now. Looking like a hack job.
Okay, we need to take them, Justin. You need to have room in bags.
There wasn't room. Yeah. They're kind of big.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to get wrecked.
We're like, I'll
and
get
it,
these.
Which it did anyway. I put it in the wrong spot and it got crushed in the trunk.
I think yours got wrecked, but Felix. Yeah.
Do you have Felix's too?
Yeah.
I think so, because I have two of them.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
What about you, Randy? Is there anything speaking to you?
Well, I'm looking at some of the 6-inch Black Series Star Wars stuff. The San Diego Comic-Con exclusive is old Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it comes with like this little table from inside his hovel, and it's got the holographic Princess Leia in it. You can stick a battery in it, and she'll light up. But it's pretty cool. It's the first time they've done old Obi-Wan in the 6-inch scale, and it is a spitting image likeness of good old Alec Guinness. And then there's also the Celebration Europe exclusive, which is a 6-inch Kylo Ren with his helmet off. Comes with the helmet separately and the burnt Darth Vader mask and a First Order flag. like a little stand with a flag for the First Order hanging off it. It was just kind of cool. And the rumor has it that even though it's a Celebration Europe exclusive, they're also going to be selling it at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, cool. Cool. You guys got anything else before we peace out and say laters?
Nope.
I think that's it.
Cool. Well, thanks for
I was just going to say have a happy, fun, and safe 4th of July. If you listen to this tomorrow during 4th of July, hopefully you don't blow your fingers off or any other appendages.
Or if you're listening from us at the hospital, get well soon.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's all it for us. Make sure to listen to the other podcast. We're talking about the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven earlier. That it's a little show that just keeps getting better. I think they finally started getting on each other's nerves, and they're just they're like 2 seconds from a fist fight or just making out. I don't know, one of the two, but it's hot. Either way. And then you got the Comic Corner Podcast with Jeff, who frequently covers for me because, as Justin said, I'm a part timer here. And Tyler, and they talk about the funny books that the Marvel, the DC, the Indies, the Dark Horses, the
Marmadukes.
They talk about Archie, a lot of Archie comics.
I actually just started listening to that podcast this week. I know I'm terrible because it's in our network. I should be listening to it, but I started a few episodes back with the whole Captain America Hydra thing. And I listened to the last 3 episodes of that, and it's fantastic. So they have a new subscriber in me, and I suggest everybody else subscribe too. Even if you're not into comics, just they're so passionate about it, it forces you to become passionate.
Yeah, awesome. And like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and we'll see you next time.
Or not, whatever. Fuck off.